It is time for the Craig James Financial Report with our man Craig Ferrantino, wealth strategist beyond, a certified financial fiduciary expert. And you go to the website, ladies and gentlemen, and check it all out, Long Island Investment Advisors. .com and welcome in. Craig, how are you?
Jay, how are you today? Happy Monday.
Indeed, happy chilly Monday. Kind of a crazy 3 weeks, negative type activity, kind of a mixed week when we look at it all as far as what we saw with end of business on Friday, Craig.
Yes, we had, it was a mixed week, but, you know, it was the first week where actually the Dow has ended the week on a positive territory, so we've had a few weeks in a row of negative earnings, and then all of a sudden we had last week. So the Dow ended up, 0.4% for the week, and you started to see the S&P, though, which has more, a little more tech-heavy, ended up flat. Now, the year-to-date on the Dow is 2.9%, so people, I always like to look at how have we done year-to-date, of all this movement and everything, and, we've hit these new highs. People think, like, the market's cruising and everything, and you start to go over it as well, since January 1st, you're up 2.9%, just under 3%. On the S&P 500, year-to-date is 3.5%. The NASDAQ, which is more very tech-heavy, would be almost 8% for the year. Since January, and we're coming up to the, we got a few more months left, but there's a whole bunch of earnings reports coming out and everything else. So you don't want to, fold your cards in yet because there's this, with the Trump tax cuts and a few other things going on, you're going to see, and then the rebalance of trade, you may see some very, very big numbers. So it's not a time to, let me fold my cards. I've made enough for the year. We want to make sure that we catch the last part, which could be which we're adding a little more volatility, and I think that's what you're starting to see. On the 10-year Treasury, you're getting a 3.19%. That's come down from about 3.25, 3.25, and oil. The Treasury's been somewhat steady now that once the Fed increased the rates. Oil is at about $69 and 27 cents. For the week, it's down almost 3%, but for the year, it's up almost 15%. And so you're starting to see this movement into the importance of where the assets, where to place money, and the importance of, things are going up, but the economy is getting stronger, too, so it's able to handle that. So it's a mix of things for this week, for last week. This week is going to be also an interesting week because we have a lot going on this week, Jay. Too much, almost. But the most important is probably housing starts, which everybody likes to look at that. It's a leading indicator. A lot of our indicators are lagging, meaning that, this is what happens after you get more people employed and, people start to buy more. So you can start to say that that's a lagging indicator. Housing starts tend to be a leading indicator, which means that, what does it look like for the future? And so it gives you an idea into the health of the overall economy. And, while they've been a substantial recovery since the global financial crisis of 2006, 2007, they're still kind of below the pre-crisis peaks. And then you have to look at it as, there's two issues going on here. We don't have the same credit that we had in 2006, 2007, so there's much tighter on the credit side. People, they were just giving mortgages to anybody, and so that's why housing was cruising during those time. But also, you have other things. You have, the tariffs on the Canadian lumber, and you start to see it's hard to find construction workers. And so, and you got to pay them more. So how does this all work out? We'll see. I think that number will come out later this week. That's one number that I'm going to be looking at. And with all that information, but it is a leading indicator.
Craig Ferrantino with us. You look at the stocks, Craig, surging in early trading. Better than expected reports from companies. Talking about Procter & Gamble, I noticed, for instance. American Express, PayPal. P&G, obviously the largest consumer products maker on the planet. Biggest rally, right? It had in 10 years or so.
Well, you know, they had some activist investors get in there, and they kind of shook up the company and said, hey, look, you know, they haven't made money in 5 years or something. They have the largest brands, you know, just about everything you see in the store. One of the largest brands that you would see in any store, and they were kind of stagnant for years, and they kind of shut them up. And so, yeah, but you know, the funny thing is that they're being nipped at by you know, you take like Gillette, which is part of them now, and you know, there's a monthly shaving company you can get. I won't mention the name, but you know, there's a bunch of little things that you start to see attacking these major brands. And so guess what? So Gillette now has a Shave of the Month Club. So you can get your razor sent to you and things like that. And so they're trying to start to change with the times. You don't want to end up like Sears, where your last innovative idea was 30 to 40 years ago. That being said, so that a couple of changes that they made, including the increase of consumer spending in this area, really helped them, and so they started the rallies. It's hard to see, almost like a sleepy stock, you know, a stalwart of the American economy, started to come in and blow out numbers like they did. But that was very unusual, and it was very exciting to see that.
Talking with Craig Farren, 2 minutes to let. Craig, what about home sales? I think the latest showed that it fell for the sixth month in a row or so. So I know that hurts smaller, more U.S.-focused type companies. What about that as far as the looking ahead, you know, especially the next couple of quarters, which many feel will be strong, but very concerned regarding growth starting 2019 could be worse than expected. But what about the housing situation itself? 6 months in a row it's fallen.
Well, again, you have tighter lending standards, so that, you know, they are much more stronger. The banks have to be strong, obviously, so they don't want to be lending out. They're not being pressured to lend out to people who don't meet the credit quality. You're also seeing, you know, again, higher raw material costs. I think that's a problem, and tough, you know, just a tight labor market and the fact that your labor, you have to pay more for them. And then you're also getting, you know, rising interest rates, which, you know, led to a slowing in mortgage applications. You know, we were saying that some mortgages are approaching 4% and some, even I've seen some to go up to 5% on a mortgage. So this weakness has also impacted the financial markets, feeling, you know, just your overall feeling in the markets, because there's less people applying for mortgages. Now, are they applying for mortgages because interest rates are higher? Are they applying less for mortgages because there are less houses available? You know, it's one of those things that's going to be brought out this week, and we'll start to get a better understanding of that. But when you have, you know, the 10-year Treasury yield coming up to, you know, once it was at 3.25%, that was making almost a 5% mortgage. And that's that number that scares people, even though we've had mortgages even higher than that in over the years that I've been working. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you want to monitor. And so I'm not overly concerned that there's a slowdown in housing, because I think it's explained, as opposed, you can't say, well, the economy's forcing people into the situation. You just feel that the slowdown in housing it's not necessarily a bellwether for the economic growth. So it's going to be interesting to see how it's interpreted. That'll come out later this week, and that's probably, you know, there's some other things that's going to be reported too, like durable goods sales. Those are your things that you keep in your house for many years, like a refrigerator or washing machine. And we'll get an idea of the consumer sentiment, and we'll also have an estimate of the third quarter gross domestic product. All that comes out this week, and so it's going to be an interesting week for the market. You know, hopefully we're up 1,000 points or down, you know, but the volatility has certainly picked up. Two out of the last 5 days last week, we were a movement of greater than 1%, and so, you know, getting some media giving us a call again. So hopefully that doesn't happen this week.
And two, you know, we'll keep an eye on world events this week. You know, you got the Saudi Arabia situation. You have the midterms coming up in a couple of weeks. Something to keep an eye on, of course. You know, all the Russian interference You also have the U.S. breaking away from Russia and treaties. You know, I mean, this all plays into the effect of how the numbers could play out by week's end. So that's something to keep an eye on as far as what happens on the world stage in the next couple of days.
Well, you didn't mention is Brexit. I think Theresa May has got her back against the wall in England. And she's got, you know, you start to look at this situation. I think that's a situation that, you know, they came in with a deal. They had this, you know, they had this whole, you know, the train was moving. And then she hit a lot of headwinds. And it may, you know, as strong as may collapse her government for one side. And also, or may have to put up the Brexit to another vote, which is another disaster. So she's running into something, and this is the whole European. So basically the second largest market in the world besides the United States is this whole what's going on in Europe. And if there's going to be some changes in there, that could have some effect. And I don't think it's being reported enough in the press, but that's something that could have a very strong effect, including our trade with Europe and European countries as well as Britain. And if that doesn't get settled out, I think that's going to be an issue. So that's on the geopolitical. That's a geopolitical time bomb, as far as I'm concerned.
No question. You got to look at the UK here because if you read it, especially the Wall Street Journal, an interesting article regarding borrowing as far as that government is concerned. In September is the lowest for that month in 11 years, and it really, you know, you got to look at ramifications and everything else, how it plays out for the rest of the year. Interesting stuff.
But if you're the average investor, you basically want to, you know, a couple of things here. You want just a couple of golden nuggets. You want to make sure that you're positioning your assets and things that in investments that are pretty much domestic based. And so I think you're going to be good with that. I think there's a lot of risk right now in both European and emerging markets. And there's, everybody says, well, when things are low, it's a good time to buy. But I'd pause on that for now. Also, for people driving in the car, I'd want to start to move some of my retirement assets, take advantage of the tax cuts. There may be more coming, but I would start to remove some of the retirement assets into something that will never be taxed again. And so that would be, you know, it's a couple of thoughts that I would think of. And, yeah, and then you could do these other things and buy all your investments or however you want to do it, but make sure it's in an area that if you make a lot of money, you're never going to be taxed again for the rest of your life. That's a golden. It's not about what investments you pick. It's how you take the money. It's not how much money you made. It's how much money you keep.
And that is what it's all about.
Very, very some that needs to be addressed pretty quickly, I would think.
I would think so. Check it all out, folks, on the website, Long Island Investment Advisors, .com. Mr. Ferrantino, one of the best in the business. He's been doing it a long time. And his fine company, Craig James Financial Services. Check it out. They're right in Melville. And again, Long Island Investment Advisors, .com. Fascinating website. Craig, good stuff. Interesting week coming up. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Jay. Have a good week.